This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and today I'm joined by Sheriff Rod Odenbar and Under-Sheriff Pat Munro. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How are you, Kate?
I am well. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. Scamming has been something that's been alive and well in Johnson County for a while now, and Rod, we've sat down and talked about it on a couple of occasions, but the reason for sitting down today is that there's been a kind of a little uptick all of a sudden in a particularly pernicious scam, and we thought it would be a nice idea to sit down and tell the community what you would like them to know. So what's been going on?
Well, I'll let so just today I think we're up to seven reports of people that call in through dispatch that like they're trying to extort $50,000, and that's through a family member that they report is hurt or they're in some sort of trouble. I'll let Pat explain, and this is basically the same one that we're getting. I think it's seven. He can explain how that this current scam is working.
So seven is quite a large number in one morning for you?
It keeps the dispatch busy, yeah. And I will say Sean would like to be here, but he's off today. Of course, he runs dispatch, and it takes away from the dispatch doing the things that they should be doing instead of not saying that the people shouldn't call in, but it plugs everything up. So
Sean, of course, is Sean Bassett, our police chief.
Yeah.
And this call, it sounds quite sophisticated. Pat, you've been part of what's been going on this morning. What can you tell us?
Correct. So I took our initial report of this morning. It came from one of our local citizens. He had got a phone call from a number that he had seen on his call. It was a Spanish-speaking male that advised that basically his daughter was being held at ransom, kidnapped. Daughter had been in an accident and wrecked her vehicle into another vehicle, and the vehicle was owned by the cartel and caused $50,000 worth of damage to the vehicle. The cartel was going to request him that he go get $50,000 worth of cash and meet this Spanish-speaking male at a certain location. The validity to the call, the local citizen said he could hear a female in the background crying, and the citizen said it actually sounded like his daughter crying and those type of things. And he said so his emotions were already up from receiving a phone call that his daughter had been in an accident. And then he said it actually sounded like my daughter. He said so it really kind of put me on, high alert that my daughter had just been in a crash and that she was being held ransom for $50,000.
Well, and if you just pause to consider how you might feel receiving a call like that, I mean, immediately your emotions go up. You probably are not thinking quite clearly.
For sure.
And $50,000 sounds a lot, but of course, you hear the word cartel, I guess, and immediately feel anxious.
Well, for sure, and I don't think that's above and beyond something that, a cartel might pull maybe if you were south of the border, but you wouldn't expect that here. And then to add a little bit into that, the citizen had tried to contact his daughter, which I think that's, they'd requested that he stay on the line. So he had some people standing around him saying, hey, call my daughter and let's find out,
mm-hmm.
which is a great thing to do if you're not going to just hang up the phone. He wasn't able to make contact with his daughter. So that kept fueling the fire, if you will. Which she started believing more and more that maybe this is the real deal here. Maybe she was in an accident and they do have my daughter. After an undetermined amount of time, he was able to make contact with his daughter through someone else. She'd been in a business meeting and wasn't able to answer her phone right away. After the all clear was given, hey, I'm okay, I wasn't in an accident, then the citizen ended the phone call with some choice words to the
yeah.
So you mentioned that they wanted to keep the guy on the phone. The scammers wanted to keep their potential victim on their target on the phone. Why do they do that?
They do that so you can't confirm or unconfirm the information that they're giving you. They don't want you to hang up and then call your family member and find out if they're okay or if they're not okay. They want to keep you tied up and keep you distracted.
So $50,000 is a significant amount of money for anybody. How are they planning on taking that from you? Do they want your bank details? How does it work?
It varies. We've seen it go in Apple Pay cards, where they're requested to go to their go to a convenience store and buy Apple cards, and then provide the number to the scammer. And we've seen that happen for 20 prepaid visas, where they'll typically, you're not going to go get $50,000 cash and meet with a scammer in a parking lot, because if you know it's a scam, you know, law enforcement's waiting there. So most of it's done electronically, and they're not even in the community. But
and so that should be a red flag to anybody anyway, that when you sort of get that third-party way of transferring money, that should be a red flag that this is really off.
Huge red flag.
Okay. Yeah, if you have to go to a convenience store to buy those cards, it's a scam.
Yeah.
And that's like Pat said, it's Apple Play, it's Visa, it's Amazon cards, it's the music, any card that's down there. Like, you could do a Texas Roadhouse card, because if you go there, there's just lines or stacks of these prepaid cards that you buy, so they could just pick one. And then once that number is given, and they have access to it, that money has gone off that card like that fast.
And of course, you know, I think most people would know that they shouldn't give their bank account details over the phone to somebody that they are not 100% secure with.
For sure.
And so, you know, the next step is, obviously, it's a logical step to kind of want to do it on a prepaid card, because you are transferring the money, but it's also not tangling up your bank account. Mm-hmm. But you know, people still need to be vigilant.
Yeah, no one should give their date of birth, social security number, bank information, credit card information, any of that. That should not go over the phone. If they're asking for that, more than likely, they're up to no good. So,
and of course, you can always ask for the number and call them back, I guess, and see what it is. But, you know, basically, I think what you're saying, gentlemen, is that people need to be alert and vigilant and assume the worst rather than assume that there is honesty in those calls.
That's where we're at today. Yeah. So a lot of times you can get a number, like say you get a call number that comes in, and you don't recognize it, maybe you answer it. But if you Google that, probably 95% of the time, it will show a scam number. Like, all you got to do is punch that in, that number, and it will bring it up if that's associated with any kind of scams across the United States. So.
And I think it's worth saying that scams come in all shapes and forms. They come as calls to you. They come as texts. They come as emails. They sometimes even come in the mail. Mm-hmm. But, you know, basically, it's just part of our daily life these days.
Yeah, that's, like I say, that's where we're at. So,
you mentioned a lot of these scammers may not even be... Even in our region, they may even be offshore. Do you ever catch them?
We don't.
I can't think of a time that we've actually been able to bring one to prosecution that we've actually caught.
Yeah, they run through 3 or 4 or 5 different IP addresses. You know, our jurisdiction is the county of Johnson, so we can't reach out past that. And then DCI is the state of Wyoming. Well, like you said, it's overseas. It's out of this country. So our resources, our reach, we can't.
And that's before you've even got in. You have to identify them.
Yeah.
Then you have to go through even extradition processes, which are very difficult, even impossible. So the chance of these people are basically acting with impunity.
Correct.
And they're operating like businesses. You know, it's what they do all day, every day, and you know, it's very sophisticated. This sounds scam that you've described, Pat, sounds quite sophisticated. You've got a multiple number of players. You've got a woman screaming in the background. Somebody leading the conversation.
Went through a little effort to put this scam on, but I would think as a father, and I hear a little screaming, and we all have, some of us have daughters, you know, and you hear the screaming when they're holding me, I would probably raise my heighten my awareness to probably want to get off the phone and call and find out if everything's okay.
So what do you recommend people do if they or maybe somebody they know is falling prey to this? What do you want them to do? Do you want them to call you?
Yeah, we want them, like, that's how this started. And then, I mean, shortly after we started getting those calls, we pushed this out to you and the bulletin. We put it on the SO page, the Facebook page, so people can, like, you know, so this guy or these people right here, they catch one out of 10 people. Like, they get 50 grand out of one. That's a pretty good day. Like, and they probably called 50 or 100 in a day, you know. So if they catch one out of 10, which I don't know what it is for sure, but like Pat said, if you're a parent, you're going to pay attention to that. Like, it's concerning until you find out otherwise. So the first thing probably is, like, this specific scam. This gentleman had somebody beside him, gives his daughter a call. That's probably the best thing. They don't want you to hang up, of course. So find somebody to call that child and make sure that they're okay.
So why not just hang up?
That's probably the best step, is just to hang up and just be done with it.
But there's people that it makes them worry, and they want to know that the daughter or the son is okay. So,
you know, and this stuff mostly is driven through social media. I'm like, if you have a social media page, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, and your information is public, and they can see, oh, Ronald and Bob Havenroe, middle-aged man, and he's got 5 kids, you know, 2 daughters.
And
your phone number is associated to it. I'm like, you're setting your scam up for yourself.
So that's
I'm
how, like, they potentially they fund
like,
you.
Finally, you call Rod. I got his phone number. I know he's got 3 kids. This one kid lives in wherever.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can pre-script their scam just by looking at your social media page, and that's generally how
that is.
They look and get the targets right off your social media page. I encourage everybody not to have one.
Yeah, I mean, I've said that all along, but it's that you, like Pat said, you made their scam. Like, they do a simple search of the convenience stores in Buffalo, Wyoming, or the banks in Buffalo, Wyoming, and they just, like, they're doing it all. Like, you drive down to, say, Zip Trip or Come and Go or a convenience store in Buffalo, and this is what you do. They know all that. Didn't they name the banks too?
Yeah, they had some knowledge of the community. They knew the banks and where things were. You know, the bank is here, and just down the street is the Family Dollar. So they pulled up Google Maps or something and knew something about the community. So.
Which, of course, adds to the credibility of the scam. And also the anxiety associated with it, because you just aren't sure whether they are actually sitting here in the community waiting for you to cough up your money, or whether, you know, whether they're actually far, far away. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. Horrible part of our daily life. Best thing to do is, as you say, you know, be vigilant, be smart, assume the worst. And we encourage people, you're encouraging people to call dispatch should they get a call like this, pass on the information, and we'll, I guess, we just wait for it to blow over, is that right?
Yeah, that's true. And I, like, we encourage them to call into dispatch because we can get this information out there. And maybe somebody, if it's just one, you know, if somebody reads that and then gets a call and they're like, I just read that, so... be aware. You know, this is a threatening one. There's also scams where if it's too good to be true, it's probably not true. So I would. I have not won the lottery. I don't think Pat has.
No.
Yeah. So those type of things. I mean, there's. They can pick. There's 100 different. Probably more than that. So, like, you be suspicious of everything. You know, the IRS is not going to give you a call. More than likely, they're going to knock on your door. So, like, all these contacts, they're wanting you to go, like, whether it's the phone, they're wanting you to give information, or go to the dollar store or convenience store and get those prepaid cards. All of those are red flags. So, if the Johnson County Sheriff's Office or the Buffalo Police Department is wanting to get a hold of you, we'll get a hold of you. It won't be by phone. It won't be by letter. And it won't, like, if we have a warrant for somebody, we're going to be knocking on your door. It's not that we're going to call it and telling you that we do. So.
Several years ago, we had a citizen that, I don't remember what the call was, but it's a very similar scam. And they were requesting Apple Pay cards or Apple cards. And they'd been to the bank, took money out, and went to a local convenience store and bought thousands of dollars of the Apple Pay cards in a period of, I think, 1 to 2 days. Eventually, the convenience store clerk contacted law enforcement and said, this person has been in here
and every bought day. Yeah.
$30,000 worth of these cards in the last 2 days. And they were just worried about the citizen's well-being. And the citizen wasn't going to report that they didn't feel like they were being scammed. Or maybe they had, but they didn't want to report it. Law enforcement finally contacted them, what's going on? They said, I think I'm being scammed, but they were, at the point, maybe too naive or too deep into it to want to report it, and got it. They had cash money in their hand to buy another 5,000 of those cards. Had the citizen at the convenience store not reported it, they would have lost another.
Yeah, it's still been going on.
They might still be going on.
Until they ran out of money.
And, of course, presumably it's very embarrassing to admit that you got duped.
Well, it sure is. But, like, this call, I could see that gentleman, like, legitimately worrying about his daughter. Like, that. But when they go to the effort of making somebody scream or cry in the background, there's some thought going into that. And they've done their homework, and they make you worry about it. So, I don't know that it's in, like, embarrassing is a good word. It's just like they play on your emotions is what they do.
Yep.
So the more emotional the person is that picks up the phone, the more apt they are to get the money. So, they're just, the good old days of this is the IRS and you pay $500, you're gone. They're doing a whole different scenario, and they got players and they got voices, and they like Pat said, they've done their homework on Facebook and Instagram and know your kids and know your wife and know your parents. They know all that stuff if you post it on Facebook. So, yeah, I just be vigilant. Call in. We'll get it out. If the phones are blown up in dispatch, we're going to put something out to the public, say this is the particular scam that's going on.
Well, thank you very much for drawing our attention to this. We hope that everybody in our community is smart and safe.
Keeps your money.
Yeah. Yes, keeps your money. And, be conscious, be aware. And if you get a sense that there may be anything wrong, call dispatch.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Kate.